What if you could unlock the extraordinary power within you? Join us on our Human Potential podcast as we explore the limitless possibilities, the holy trinity of mind, body, and spirit. Discover easy-to-action tips, inspiring stories, and expert advice to help you tap into your highest potential and live a life of purpose and fulfillment. For a free transformational tool, go to soulful-awakening.com/free.
Welcome to another episode of the Human Potential Podcast. I'm here with the amazing Hope Fitzgerald. Hope, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm just honored to be here.
Listen, tell the world who you are and what you do.
Okay. About 12 years ago, stepped into a new level of my spiritual development, having been a seeker my whole life and had some amazing experiences along the way. But it was my own private journey, let's put it that way. I shared it with some people, but because many would roll their eyes, I decided to keep it private. And then I walked across my living room one day and I had a series of visions right in front of me. That's not something I was used to having, to say the least. And the three visions had to do with water. There was a huge wave, beautiful, actually, turquoise sparkling wave, and it was coming towards me. And there seemed to be a message, like a byline that came with it, that I was aware of. And to paraphrase, it was, this wave represents a push of evolution that is coming to the planet. It's going to be anchoring in at the end of 2011. You get to use this to make your evolution happen more easily and smoothly if you learn to swim with it or surf it as opposed to resisting it. Then the wave turned on its side so that I was looking at it like the letter C. It curls around. The surfer would come through the tunnel or whatever they call the barrel, whatever it's called.
Barrel, yeah.
So you see this curling wave looking like the letter C. And in that image, the message was, as the water pulls away from the shore and deepens into the seabed to get its energy to create the crest, that's how the physics of a wave works. So should you, meaning me, but meaning everybody, leave your knowledge, all your book learning, basically, on the shore. Go to the earth. Go to the wisdom keepers of the earth. Dig down into that for your information and knowledge. And then mix that with this incoming, whatever this incoming wave was. And then the water, instead of just falling back down into the ocean, that sea curved around and created a standing figure eight made of flowing water. And that did not have a byline, and that did not go away. It hung out in front of my purview for 3 days or so until I said, I've got to figure out what the heck this is. And I sat down with my dowsing rods, which had been my steady companions for over a decade. And I started to ask what this thing was, this figure eight of flowing water. And to make a long story short, the series of conversations that happened with my dowsing rods told me that this was a very pristine, they said, 10th dimensional energy. It's a representation, it's a metaphor, this figure eight of flowing water. It's a representation of an energy that is love and compassion at a 10th dimensional level. But it's coming in the shape of a figure eight. It's coming in a geometry, and it's coming in water. Now, the combination, of course, the infinity sign has been around forever, but it's the combination of that geometry and the water, which is imbued with the love and compassion, that makes this a living dynamic that can change reality on a dime. And I was told, you need to teach about this. I was like, I don't want to teach about this. But I had said previously that I was a willing vessel to the universe. And so they reminded me of that. And so I started to teach workshops and combine a lot of information that I had learned in my younger days at Findhorn Community up in Scotland, and about evolution and Teilhard de Chardin's version of evolution and the current science that I had been following for quite some time. So anyway, long story short, a series of practices came in just as I needed them for each workshop. And when I stood back and looked at the nine practices 3 months later, I saw that they, in the order that they came, provided an evolutionary leap for a person, no matter where they were. It provided them to a step ahead on their spiral of evolution. So that's what I've been teaching for the last 12 years.
Wow, there's so much in that. And as you were speaking about the vision, my body started tingling. I just love stories that where people have these metaphysical experiences where they connect to the divine and spirit. So a lot of questions on the back of that stories. Thank you for sharing that, first of all. But firstly, when you saw this vision, and I know it was in 2011, so you've had a lot of time to assimilate and understand what it actually meant and go deeper into that. How did you experience it in the moment? Was it a case of just you surrendering into this and saying, okay, I've been calling this in on many levels and I'm just going to experience it the full? Was there hesitation? Was there fear? Was there like curiosity? What was present for you in that moment you had this vision?
It's a good question. I should probably say that there was preparation. When I look back, there was preparation for this moment. I had a tremendously difficult year. This was 2010, and my father died. There was just a lot of stuff that happened. And to recover on all levels, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I went for two back-to-back sound healing workshops with Tom Kenyon in Seattle. And during those workshops, I went in like a warrior. I was galloping in with such fervor to clean my whole field, clean my history, clean the stories all out. I call it cleaning my inner bowl. Like I had a big bowl in my belly and I was scrubbing it and scrubbing it. Every single practice was scrubbing deeper and deeper. So by the time I came home, I felt so empty that I always say, you could have called me any name and I would have answered, because I had no story. It was delightful. I had 3 days of pure emptiness. Wow. I can't even tell you how wonderful it was.
Yes. And sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
So it was the third day of that I walked across my living room and I had a friend there, fortunately, who could witness this and saw this wave. Now, I wasn't afraid at all. I was amazed. I stood there and I said to my friend, I'm seeing this giant wave right now. It's really beautiful. And I think there's a meaning to it. And I was just telling her my experience as it was happening. And then when it turned, I got the message there. I believe nature does abhor a vacuum. And it was at the end of that sound healing workshop that I just spontaneously, not physically, but in my mind's eye, I was so grateful for this cleansing, this rigorous cleansing that I invited. I went for it, that I went prostrate on the floor in my mind. And out of me sprang the words, I am a willing vessel, do with me what you will. It wasn't mental. It came from a very deep place and I was prostrate on the floor. So I had surrendered. So you asked about surrender.
Amazing. Yeah. And the very specific reason I asked that is because when people experience these, let's call them metaphysical experiences, where they're actually connected to divine source, God, whatever terminology resonates with people, often, and I've had this myself, but the first time it's happened to me, I've got scared, right? And I'm actually talking about astral projection. When I left my body, I was like, whoa, what the fuck is this? Got really scared, woke up, bang, the experience is over. And I'm always interested to hear people's stories and versions of when they've had their experience and how they've responded and reacted. And it sounds very much like you surrendered and fully lived the experience as it was meant to happen.
Definitely. Now, I did get terrified when I received the information that I was supposed to teach about this.
And that's your human, right? That's your human coming in going, okay, wow, what just happened and what am I supposed to do with this?
What the heck? Well, because I'd been so private for so long about my spiritual life, and I always, and to this day, I consider myself a student. To switch gears and become someone who was teaching, I didn't feel I was ready, or how ready do you have to be when a lifetime doing this? They were like, you're ready. You don't even realize it. Foot in the back, go. But it was scary to actually say yes to something when you don't, in your literal mind, know what you're doing. And it requires utter faith. And that's the scariest part.
Absolutely.
Because we are not used to letting go of so much control that you are going to trust yourself to be guided in every single way. We're not used to that.
Absolutely. But I think most of us are already on the journey. Are surrendering deeper and deeper into that, and certainly for me, in my own perspective, is to live a level of embodiment of that, of the unknown, and completely trust in that. Like you said, I'm the vessel, dear God, dear universe, what wants to be created through me in the highest good for everyone. And it is a journey of trust. It is a journey of surrender, and that journey is challenging, right? Because the human mind and the egoic mind wants to come in and say, I'm going to control this and I'm going to control that, and what does this mean and what does that mean. So very, very beautiful to hear that someone who's embodying that on their journey.
After the whole first steps with it, I look back and I said, I think it's really a case of the universe cannot catch you unless you leap.
Oh, I love that. So look, again, there's lots that I want to explore deeper. One of the things I'm really, as you said it, I was like, oh, wow, yeah. This idea of the cleansing bowl and that you were cleansed for 3 days and you were completely free in terms of the stories and the programming and the conditioning. And I actually had this thought about 2 months ago where I was in this moment of complete peace outside of all my stories, completely present. And I was like, oh, imagine if my whole life was like this. And then I got really scared, right? Because then I was like, oh, what about all the memories and the experiences that I've created that I like? And there was this kind of egoic nature to hold on, the attachment of those experiences. What would it mean if I had no stories? That, on one hand, I was so enthralled and and that's the kind of life and purpose that I choose, is to let go of all these stories. And on the other hand, it felt so scary. What would it mean? Where's my identity in all this? And we know about attachment and attachment to identity and how that kind of stops people from reaching levels of spiritual enlightenment. And for me, it was a very interesting juxtaposition of, yes, I want this, and also, wow, that feels a bit scary.
Wow, I so appreciate that story. And because it's so vulnerable, and it really is the crux of the matter. Mm. I had a walkout experience, which
What's
is
a walkout when- experience? Please explain.
That is when you can walk out of your physical body and have another soul waiting in the wings that comes in and takes it over.
Oh, wow. I've heard of this. I've not heard it be called a walkout. I've heard of this. So, yeah, wow.
So actually for me, it's complicated, but it ended up being more like inviting in a second aspect. A different personality came in and we share this container. I don't talk about this all that often, but the prelude to the experience happening, and I didn't know obviously how it would happen, but I had precognition that this was going to happen. I had to unplug myself from everyone and everything and all stories and everything in my life. The wave had already, I'd already been working with the wave. This was like two years into the wave. And so that experience of unplugging, like you say, it's a very interesting, it's facing your death. And the irony of facing your death is it's incredibly freeing. And I wanted so deeply to be of service. That's why I kept going and kept unplugging. Because what the messages were was that I would be even more useful on the other side. I am a service-oriented being, and so that's what drove me. So anyway, the process of unplugging and then being willing to release myself out of this body consciously was very interesting. And I, again, another opportunity to be empty. When I came out of it and I realized I was here, but there was something else here too, and we're now doing this together, and it took about a year to really get back in sync. But when I came back, I did this in Peru at Lake Titicaca. And when I came back, I very carefully decided where I was going to plug in again and how I was going to plug in again, because I wanted to retain the lack of identity, but reconnect, because it's very challenging to be a human being in this world and not be connected with people. It's a necessity. You don't have to have a lot, but you have to have some. Otherwise, you're just a free-floating bubble and it becomes very unpleasant. So love is important. Love between people is an important glue that keeps us here. So I very carefully reconnected just a few to keep myself as free as possible, but still be in the world a little bit.
Amazing. I love that. I love that. That you've got the best of both worlds. Let's put it like that, right? This ability to be disconnected and free and empty. And I'm like, wow, I want more of that, because I felt it in moments. And this very real human need to experience love, compassion, interconnectedness, connection, communion, which is very real. And that's why we come here, right? To experience all those things in the highest possible frequency and vibration of love, and to deepen all those things, communion, community, love. So I love it. I love that you can plug in and out. It sounds like you're some sort of master, which is amazing. So look, I want to talk about your dowsing rods to give the listeners an understanding of actually what is dowsing and how do you use them. And I also like to talk more about the wave, because I think that's to your body of work and you're using that to elevate human consciousness. So let's start off with the dowsing.
Sure. Anybody who has ever played with a pendulum has doused. Okay. There are lots of different dowsing tools, and some of them are really fun. I use what are called L rods. So they're shaped like an L, and you hold the short end in your hand. There is a sleeve that has the metal wire or copper, usually, wire that goes into the sleeve so that the long part of the rod can spin freely. In other words, your hands can't make it go this way or that way. So you have your hands on the sleeves, and the long metal rods are pointed out in front of you. Now, L rods are often used for land work. If you're trying to find water or oil or whatever you're looking for, that's a good tool. There are other ones as well. Pendulums are really good for asking questions, for clearing rooms or people or animals or whatever. Pendulums are really good for that. They're also good for asking questions, especially if you use a series of graphs. It makes it much easier. I like to use L rods because for my coaching work, because they're faster and they're more nuanced. For me, when I ask, and I'll demonstrate, but I'll talk you through it. When I put the rod straight out in front of me, the first thing I do is ask, can I, may I, should I? And I wait for the rods to respond. So for me, a yes is when they cross in towards my face. And a no is when they cross all the way out and they're facing opposite directions. Okay.
Yep. Okay. I see that. And if you're listening on audio, you just need to picture this, or get onto YouTube and watch this. Watch what Hope is doing to the rods, or watch how the rods are responding as Hope is.
Yeah. So anybody can do this, and I highly recommend it because it's a great way to begin a conversation with your intuition, your higher self. Where's the information coming from? It might be different for every person. For me, the information comes from the universe. And that's where I hail from. So that's what comes through. So it's often given in a not very emotional way. So my job is to soften sometimes because it can be very blunt. But that's how it works. Sometimes I said the rods are nuanced. Sometimes they don't cross in all the way. They might only go for halfway or a quarter of the way, or they might move really slowly.
And does that mean something different when they do that?
Yes, there's a hesitation. It means I have to look deeper and ask more questions to try to get to the bottom of it.
Okay.
The beauty is that it's really fast. We can get to the bottom of an issue, get to the nugget of it very quickly.
Okay. So look, I'm really excited about this because I had an incident where I was triggered pretty much just before we came on air here to record this about a couple of hours ago. And I'll give you some context and then we'll see how we can incorporate my trigger into the dowsing and see what universe is telling me.
Okay.
Through you. So I signed a contract to be an exhibitor at a festival called Mind, Body, Spirit. I signed this last year. And I can't honor that contract. So I loosely cancelled it. Right? I didn't say I'm definitely not coming. So I received a phone call saying that I'm in breach of contract and I owe all this money, right? About a couple of thousand pounds. And I was like, oh, holy shit. I don't want to pay this. So I said, look, is there any way that you can waiver this fee? And the woman I was speaking to, she was highly triggered by that. And she said, this is really unprofessional. You signed a contract. The best I can do is I can give you 50% cancellation fee. Now, that wasn't the trigger. The trigger was the way she said it, right? She was angry. So she was projecting this anger. And what I felt was this lack of humanness, right? And you've talked about love and compassion, and because my world is full of love and compassion, and that's how I operate, there was just a lack of seeing me as a human and recognizing the reason why I wasn't honoring this contract, which was I've had a really tough year dealing with grief and sadness and energetic, spiritual, emotional density. Even though I wasn't using this terminology, I was using basic terminology. And I felt she didn't see that. And at the same time, intrinsic responsibility, I signed a contract, which I'm not honoring. So I can see why she wanted me to honor that. And yet I was like, I don't want to pay this. There's definitely some money programs present for me around scarcity, maybe. And also, you didn't speak to me in a very nice way. So maybe some inner child stuff for me about not being seen. So yeah, would one incorporate that with the dowsing to go deeper or to get some clarity or to get some clearance? Let's clear the field. Let's clear the energy of what I felt.
Okay, let me explain one little extra piece. Is that when I start dowsing, I start to hear words and phrases and sometimes see things. And that's how we can navigate most quickly to what the issues are. It may be that you will receive a channeling about this. I'm not sure. In that case, I will let you know if that's what's happening.
Okay? Beautiful.
All right. So let's find out what we need to find out about this. What would your primary question be?
So my question would be, it's around scarcity and money. Are there scarcity blocks? Are there energetic blocks in me to receive money right now? Does that make sense?
Yep. I'm just waiting. I might have to rephrase it. Okay. Let's ask this. I want to ask one thing before we go there, I guess. This incident, this triggering incident that Hader, I'm saying that right, am I?
Yes, yes.
Hader experienced with this woman over this fee, I want to ask how many levels that triggering was happening on. Was it happening on a physical level? No. That's interesting, because that would be both your money and your body. Was it happening on an emotional level? Obviously, yes.
Yeah.
Was it happening on a mental level? No. Was it happening on a spiritual level? No. Okay, so this is purely emotional. So when you asked about, do you have a block about receiving money? No, you don't.
No. Good.
Okay?
It's good to know.
So now that we know it's about emotion, let's find out, is the emotion in this incident something that harkens back to Hader's childhood? Nope. Is it something that is purely in the moment? Yes. The woman sounded a bit like a bully. And I don't know if there have been bullying incidents for you. It doesn't seem to be childhood, but maybe teenage years, something like that. But so the words that are dropping in are, it was an offense and you were defenseless.
So I just want to explain that the dowsing rods are saying yes to all the bullying, and in my teenage years on audio, the dowsing rods are indicating it's a yes to all these questions and statements Hope is making right now around bullying.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay.
So it was an offense where you were defenseless. So the rods say yes to that.
Yeah.
Your explanation for why you couldn't complete the contract, though it was super important to you, it did not hold water. Now, these are their words. It did not hold water for her. So there's a disproportionate amount of emotion and energy on your side versus where she's coming from. And I can't really douse too much for her, but she's just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts, right? She's not in an emotional realm, and you are completely in an emotional realm. So there's going to be a misconnection no matter what.
Yeah. Wow.
It's interesting to me that on a mental level, you were not triggered. So the idea of this is not bothersome. Like you understand you, and in some way, you know that you can handle it. You're going to figure this out. You're going to manage it. The rods are saying, and so you have this confidence. That's the other word that came in here. You have this confidence in your ability to handle things. Yes. Okay. So all of that is good. This is really about your tenderness, that's their word, and not finding a home for that. Yes. Okay. So is there anything that Hader can do to mollify his emotions? Yes. First of all, we're going to offer the infinity wave right to you right now, into your heart. And into the wounded place. So the place where you feel defenseless, the place where you try to do the best thing and sometimes come up short, the place where you have big dreams that sometimes don't get realized fully yet, I'm throwing in yet, that kind of, yeah, they're showing me a deep, I don't know what to call it. It's an inner chamber. Okay. And in there are all the worries. And this woman, in not seeing your depth and your breadth and your capacity, she only sees the surface. And that was deeply harming, because you live in a very trusting way. And you trust that the universe and the world is going to show up for you in a way that will meet you. And unfortunately, that's not the case. So there's also a great deal of disappointment. Mm. So the rods are saying yes to all those things. So let's just take a moment here, Hader. And I'm going to open your eyes with me. and I'm going to wave with you. So that means one end of the figure eight is going to be in my heart, and then across time and space, the other end is going to be in your heart. And what we're going to do is we're just going to let the water flow between us. And as we do this, you will perhaps start to feel some softening.
Absolutely. Already, yes.
So this is the 10th dimensional love and compassion. I don't have to manufacture it. It's in the wave. And the wave is a living entity. So now you are being bathed in this love and compassion for all that's going on in that inner chamber of yours. And just allowing yourself to receive it, which is often one of the hardest things. There you go. There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, life is good. Life is good. Yeah. Wow. Wow. I felt that on every level.
Yeah. So you can just play with that. Put it into your own heart, side to side, up and down. There's no wrong way, no right way to do the wave. However it appears to you, whatever color it is, it doesn't matter. It can be any size, and it can connect us to the earth, to the stars up above, to the wherever. It could be teeny tiny, and it realigns us.
I certainly feel realigned, so much so that I'm so relaxed. I'm like, okay, what's the next question? I need to ask Hope. I'm like in this dimension, the 10th dimension of the wave, the quantity wave. Like, okay, how am I going to carry this?
I should have warned you.
So look, that was amazing, truly, truly amazing. And first of all, let me tune into gratitude for that blessing, for that gift, for that act of service and act of love. To be in receivership of that and your amazing talent, Hope. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you, because that has shifted me. And I'm sure you're probably telling my energy as well. And let's talk more about the wave, right? Because I know you've written a book called The Infinity Wave. Oh, I know it's an Amazon bestseller as well. So it's making waves, literally. Yeah. So let's go a bit deeper about the book. Tell us more about the book. I know I've just lived a real life experience, and you can't get any kind of more kind of what's the word I'm looking for? I've gone. It's more of a hardcore. I've gone, Hope. Help me out here.
It's okay. Gone. I really should have warned you because this is a common problem, not problem, but result.
So, you can't get a better example. That's what I'm trying to say.
There you go. There you go.
It's the best example anyone can have is actually living an experience like I just did.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And so the wave is really here to help us spiritually evolve. And what you were talking about earlier, this ability to be in the world but not of it, which, by the way, is, I always thought it was a Jesus quote, but it's not. It's a Sufi quote.
It's a what quote? A Sufi quote.
Quote.
Oh, wow. Amazing. That's interesting because I've always used it as, Christ consciousness.
I thought so too.
Yeah. And my sister's a Sufi as well. And I think she's mentioned that to me before. I think she said, now that you've said it, it's actually triggered a memory. She said, hey, that's actually a Sufi quote. Okay, cool. Yeah. It's good to get that reaffirmed. See, this is one of the things about programming and conditioning, right? When we're told or when we have a point of view and we're receiving it as Christ, it's, oh, that's Christ. And then we have reaffirmations of that. But it's great to be open to receive like other information as well.
And I'll talk about the wave, but I'll also tell you that along the way, and this harkens back to your very first question about the things that happen that are metaphysical, paranormal, that can be scary. there are those things, and I've had those things happen, but usually they happen so quickly that I don't have time to get too afraid. And I had a visit from Jesus, who I call Yeshua, and Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary on the day before Easter in 2011, just when I started teaching the workshops. I was absolutely gobsmacked, as you would say, over there, because I really didn't have a personal relationship. Although I admired and loved and all the teachings and all of that, I just never could get close to this character known as Jesus. And then he showed up on this day, much to my complete surprise, and he talked to me as if we had just hung up the phone and we were continuing conversation. It was like you and I are talking right now, very familial, very just like midstream. And I was like, I realized something, and this is the way that the layers, the peeling of the onion is such a great metaphor, even though it's so used. It's such a great metaphor because in that situation, the first emotion that came to me was unworthiness. Now, did I know I was feeling that I had that in my being? I had a lot of things going on. I didn't think I was feeling unworthy. But there, speaking of our programming, we've got this divine being speaking to me. And who am I, this lowly human, to have a conversation? Like my left brain, everything was trying to argue with what was happening and saying, I'm not even worth it. So tears sprang to my eyes. And he was like, why not you? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Get over it. And let's keep moving with the conversation. So anyway, I learned a lot about the things that can be hidden in there. And then those conversations have continued ever since. But back to the wave.
So before we go back to the wave, I'd like to share my story of Christ and my interaction with Christ. And
his,
because it's just you recalling your very intimate story, a very loving and beautiful story of Christ. It reminded me of my own story of Christ. And so I was brought up in the faith of Islam. And as a Muslim, we believe in Jesus as a prophet, as a holy prophet. And there was also that kind of Muhammad is king. Yes, Jesus was a prophet, but Muhammad is the messenger of God and he's the number one. So I had this thing, okay, I love Muhammad and I'm aware of Jesus. He's a prophet, so I believe in Jesus. And yet I was very drawn to this character that we know as Jesus, right? But in my mind, the story I had, that's wrong. I'm wrong and bad to be drawn to Jesus because it's all about prophet, the great prophet Muhammad. And I was actually in ayahuasca ceremony. And I was in my thing, doing my thing. And then suddenly this energy just came in. And it was Christ. I just knew straight away it was Christ, right? It was Christ and he was speaking to me. Oh, I'm getting a bit emotional as I speak about this. And he touched my hand and he put it to my heart. And he said, Hayder, it's okay to love me. And I love you. And I couldn't stop crying, right? I was like, oh my God, I can love him without any shame, without any resentment, without any guilt. I can love him. I can love you. And it was just the most profound experience that I've ever had. Well, one of the most profound experiences that I've had. But in that moment, and like you, the tears just, I just let go of all this resistance, this natural love that was in me for him. Just expressed itself through tears, joy, through the releasing of the shame and guilt. And it was just one of the most magical experiences of my life.
Oh, that is such a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for allowing me to share that. Yes, it's a very emotional, very emotive story, and one that I'm not told for a while, actually. But hearing you say that, this is meant to come out today.
I guess so. And it's interesting because in the many years that have passed and all the conversations that have ensued and all the teaching that has ensued, even though I perceived him as a physical being it is really more correct to call it a consciousness.
Yes, exactly. And that's how it came. It came as a consciousness to me, yes, rather than this physical being, this human.
Yes. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And having that freedom to love, that unconditional love that comes from that consciousness.
Exactly that. Yeah.
It's just fantastic. And not get hung up on the details. So it's really funny because when I would go into channel with him or with Mary Magdalene, I'd always have in my mind, oh, I want to ask them about this. Did they really do this? Did they go to France? Did they do all these things? And every time I got into the session, I completely forgot all my questions. And I realized it doesn't matter. None of it matters. The details don't matter. But let me tell you this, speaking back to the wave, when you think of the symbol of the fish, it's an almost completed infinity sign.
Yes.
This infinity wave, this representation is the next iteration of that Christ consciousness. That's what they told me.
Wow.
And it is meant to, I'm just seeding it. I'm just a little Johnny Appleseed, Janie Appleseed, whatever, to plant these seeds and to, I needed to write the book because they told me to. I did not want to. It took me 8 years to get it together to do it. As I just didn't want to do it. It's risky. You're putting your word out there. You're putting everything out and exposing yourself. As people will say, you're nuts. Not that matters to me anymore at all. Not at all. So
can I just interrupt and ask you a question, Hope? Because in the world that we live in, right? So planet Earth, this 3D civilization. And I hear this term all the time about the next coming, or it's the completion of the next phase. And I'm always interested to understand, okay, what does that actually mean in the world of self-actualization for us as human beings? I'd love to get your perspective on that.
If I'm going to share the messages from the infinity wave, what this tool helps us to do is to maintain that state of love and compassion. That is the origination of the Christ consciousness, right? It helps us to maintain it quickly and easily. We can't really have time now to go up to the mountain and sit in the cave. We don't have time. Everything's moving much, much more quickly. We need something that quickly and easily gets us into that alignment of love and compassion on a daily basis, has us keep in flow. When we're in love and compassion, we're in flow automatically. It is by staying in flow and not being in resistance that we can deal with the constant onslaught of waves, of literal waves that are hitting the planet, from galactic center, from the sun, but we are being bombarded all the time. We're moving the planet is moving into an area of the galaxy that has much more photon light. There are a lot of things going on, and this is all forecast. We know we're going through an evolution. To be conscious in this evolution is the best piece of all. So we're upgrading what became Christianity. And we're taking it away from words. We're taking it away from a book. We're putting it in a simple symbol that you just experienced shifted your reality in a matter of moments. Once this gets out to the greater population, we'll all have this ability to connect with one another in love and compassion, to keep our own fields in love and compassion, to connect to the natural world, to connect to planets, the stars, whatever. And that is going to contribute to us finding this state of in the world, but not of it, which is where you can be a physical person, enjoying the juiciness of tactile life, but with your consciousness about 3 feet above your head. You're elongated, you're multidimensional. And I'm not going to say where, you know, you are when you're, but not being confined to just a 3D existence, having your body experience that, enjoy it, but having your consciousness in a higher state. So I think that's where we're going.
Wow. I absolutely love that. I love the exuberance and the energy behind the words and the articulation of where we're heading to. And you know what? I actually feel complete. I feel that's probably an amazing point to actually wrap up this podcast and bask in what you just said, love and compassion, higher consciousness. I think that's a very apt way to finish. So Hope, thank you so much. Thank you for being in service to me once again. I've had an absolute blast recording this with you. And I encourage my viewers, my listeners, to go and check Hope out. She just gave a live demo of how powerful she's a wizard and a magician, a witch. She's connected to the divine. So please go and check her out. Please experience her consciousness and let her help you in your own evolution. Thank you very much, Hope.
Thank you, Hayden.
Thank you for joining us on this incredible journey of exploring human potential. Now, it's your turn to take action and unleash your own greatness. Head over to soulful-awakening.com/free and opt in for lots of free transformational tools. Embrace the knowledge and insights you've gained and start implementing them in your life today. Remember, the world is waiting for your incredible potential to shine.